Greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for another. If you spend a bit of time in church or some time in God's Word, then you may know that Jesus laid down His life for you and me and everyone who would ever accept Him as their Lord and Savior. He did this so that one day we would be with Him in heaven. He did this because He loves you so much that He set His own self-interest aside and did what was needed to get you through the narrow gate into heaven. Jesus demonstrated this principle of love. Greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for that of another. But Jesus didn't intend for that to be the end of this principle. Jesus says if we love Him, we will obey His commands. He also said the greatest command is to love God, our Heavenly Father, above all else. No person and no thing should have a higher place in our hearts than God. Let's look at this for a minute. God's Word says to forgive those who wrong you. It even goes to the point of saying, if you don't or won't, then you block the forgiveness of God upon your own sins. So if your spouse was wonderful at one time and you raised them up, up, up on a pedestal, and the brokenness of the world that affects even them crept in and led them into some form of sin, if this all happened and you watched them fall to the ground but could never look at them the same again, what is this saying? Number one, you elevated them and possibly placed your confidence in them instead of God, whom is the only one whom will never fall short. Number two, you did your spouse an injustice by thinking that they were not affected by the brokenness of the world, and you now hold them bound in chains to the shame of their poor choices, things that Jesus came to cleanse them of, but you choose to stand pointing to their past in hopes that your reminders will somehow keep pain from entering your future, but it doesn't. Jesus says He came to bring healing and cleansing and forgiveness to everyone who would turn to Him. His Word says that no one is without sin except for the deity, the triune God. The Bible tells us that our sins will only be forgiven if we will surrender our grip on the sins of others. Who are you hurting by pointing to that person's failures? You or them. They may be in a place of realizing how broken they are and how much they need a Savior. They may be completely willing to let everyone else off the hook because they aren't perfect either. The Bible says when they turn to Jesus, their sins are wiped away. But it also says that the one who doesn't forgive that person's sins will not be forgiven by God. Could you be closing the door to heaven on yourself? Three, your focus in the greatest command of loving God above all others means that God alone is perfect and deserving of everything in you. While all the people around you are broken, damaged, and vulnerable to failures, meaning they need your mercy, your help, your encouragement, just like you yourself need from God, His mercy and help and encouragement. God alone is perfect. Let those other people off the hook. They're never going to live up to your perfect standard because they're not perfect. They're not God. They're broken. They're damaged goods, just as you and I are. So let mercy reign. Jesus said the second greatest command is to love your neighbor, that is the people doing life next to you. Jesus gave an example in Scripture of what this might look like. Basically, no matter how similar or different the person is to you or from you, you stop your life to help them move forward with whatever they may be looking at in their particular situation. I see people who do two different things. I see people who get into a place of knowing what Scripture says, that I'm to love my neighbor. I'm to stop and pause what I'm doing, and I'm to help other people. And they get in a place where there's things that they need to do in their life, but they're difficult things. They're scary things, and they don't want to do those because they're difficult, because they're scary. So they go off and they help somebody else, and they procrastinate what they need to do by focusing on doing something good for somebody else. But then there's other people who genuinely take this scripture of loving your neighbor. They do the things that they're supposed to do in life, but then they also help other people. When life gets busy and hectic, they pause because somebody needs some attention. When they're moving along and somebody needs help, they pause to help them. When life is crazy and they don't think they could spare another minute, but somebody comes along that really needs help, they change their schedule so that they can help. See, Scripture does talk about it, but Scripture talks about a lot of things that we could twist and use to our advantage to procrastinate something that God may want us to do. A lot of things that God wants us to do are difficult. They're scary. We don't know how they're going to turn out, but God does. He tells us to trust Him in it because He knows how it's going to turn out. He tells us to keep walking in faith because He's leading the way. We're warned not to give our hearts to worldly ways because it leads us away from God. Worldly ways are me, taking care of me. What about me? Self-centered, self-gratifying, me, 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 me. Worldly ways are all about me. I'll take care of me, and if there's anything left, I'll help someone else. Someone who in turn may help me. So really, it's still all about me. Worldly ways are all about protecting me, satisfying me, storing up for me, getting people to look at me, and the list goes on. But God's greatest two commandments, the commands that will lead to the fulfillment of every other command, according to what the Bible says, are both commands to look outside yourself. Number one, the first greatest command is to look to God. And the second greatest command is to look out for others. So if we take all of this and look again at greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for that of another, how would this apply? God says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. If we are doing the first command, loving God above all else, then we'll have no choice but to do command number two, love those doing life around us. Because in order to love God, we need to follow all His commands. So here we go. Number one, in order to love on a broken person, I first need to realize that I'm not all that myself. Do we have anyone here today who has it all together? Do you really believe that you're flawless in yourself? Good. Me neither. I stand up here and tell you what God's Word says, but I'm a work in progress too. The closest I am to having it figured out is by knowing that in here is where God's Word will instruct me on what I should do and what I shouldn't do. I just need to search it out and share it with you all. Number two, in order to love on a person doing life next to me, I need to look up or look out and notice that they're there in the first place. Part of the devil's technique in worldly ways is to keep people focused on what's going on in our own space. Then we miss everyone else. If I'm always focused on my needs, then I'll miss every opportunity to help someone else. The devil pulls a lot of strings to keep us inwardly focused. Personally, and even as a church, struggles in our life, struggles in our family, struggles in our health, struggles in our finances, and yes, struggles in our church. They all cause us to say, I can't help right now. I can't even handle what's going on in my own life. And like in the story that Jesus told of the Good Samaritan, we walk by on the other side of the road, trying not to make eye contact with the dying person lying in the ditch. This principle in today's message says greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for that of another. That's what the Samaritan did, and that's what God asks you and me to do. To lay down all the reasons not to pause my to-do list and help a person that's truly in need. Sometimes I don't know why I feel compelled that I need to speak both sides of Scripture so often. I want to just say what Scripture says and leave it at that. But each time I try, I feel like I need to add in these other parts. And so I just said to lay down all the reasons not to pause my to-do list and help a person that's truly in need. So the truly in need is the key. There are some people in the world, some people possibly in your life, there are some people in my life who will call on me because they know who I am. They will call on me to help with something because it's easier than calling a repairman, or it's easier than calling their parents if they need financial help, or it's easier to call me than somebody else. And so we get into a place of occasionally being abused for our kindness. It's just easier to go to this person and ask, because they're always there for me. Or what about the one that goes around and around and around the same mountain? No matter what happens in their life, they keep repeating the same thing. They know where it leads to, but it's just the rut that they're in. And it seems to be working for their life. They get by every day, so they continue in that same pattern. And so they ask for help, and you help. They get to the next situation, and they ask for help again, and you help. And they get to the next situation, and they ask for help, and you help. And they get to the next situation, and they ask for help, and you help. And then you get to the next situation, they ask for help, and you say, no, I've helped too much. And then, ooh, you are the devil yourself. Because now you just broke their cycle. And now what are they going to do? There's also people who feed on our kindness. The kindness of good people. See, originally I wrote Christians in there. Feed on the kindness of Christians. But some people feed on the kindness of people who aren't even believers. Just because they're kind. So it's feeding on the kindness of good people. And so basically, whatever they're stuck in life, they want what you have. In our lives, there'll be times where we wonder, is this person truly in need? And there'll be times in our life where we know that this person truly is in need, and it's time to set everything aside and help. Overall, God asks us to help, and He will sort out the rest. I had a pastor tell me one time that God knows everything. Well, actually, he asked me that. He said, does God know everything? And I said, yes. And he said, does God know the end from the beginning? I said, yes. Does God know your life from beginning to end? And every decision and every word you're going to say from moment to moment. And I said, yes. The Bible tells us that God knows every detail. And so then he said, if God knows all this and he asked you to step forward and do something and you don't feel prepared to do it, don't you think he knows how you're going to do it? Don't you think he's already prepared to carry this through? No matter how you do it, he's going to carry it through for his glory. So what are you afraid of? Just step up and do it. Because God already knows the outcome. And if he called you to do it, then he's going to lead you through it. That's what we tell each other. But that's the truth. Overall, God asks us to help, and he will sort out the rest. God asks us to love our neighbor, to love the people doing life next to us. By laying down our pride, which may cause us to worry, they might say or do something that affects our emotions. Lay down our gain. This is not going to add anything to my storehouse. In fact, it's going to cost me something. I'm not in a position to give up my treasures right now. I don't have enough to spare to lay down our time. This really isn't a convenient time. Check back with me next time you're in need. Maybe I can help then. Lay down our identity. I really tend to be more focused on my own things, but God loves you and wants me to pause and help you. So we crossed our paths. I'm a child of God, and he loves you too. Surrender your identity. There is more to laying down one's life for the life of another than the obvious part of dying so someone else can live. We lay down our ambitions, our plans, our desires, our resources, and our time to encourage another in their confidence in the truth of God's love for them. I lay this all down right now so that you will know that God crossed our path today because he loves you and called me to show you that he loves you. It could look something like this. Here, this is from God. He gave it to me to give to you. Isn't that what tithes are about? Isn't that what our treasures and blessings are about? God entrusts them to us, not for us to hoard them, to bury them like in Scripture, but to use them to be a blessing to somebody else. Greater love has no one than to lay down one's life, to pause one's life, to sacrifice one's pleasures or treasures. Greater love has no one than to open one's hand and allow their blessing from God to be passed on to someone in need. Greater love has no one than to share the love that God showed them with another person. Greater love has no one than the love of God. The love God shows you, give it to your neighbor. There's no greater love to show your neighbor than the love that God himself shows you. Let them see God's love in you. Greater love has no one than to lay down it all for the eternal life of another. This holiday season is here. It's rise. It's here. And you will have the opportunity to show people how God loves them or how worldly ways cause people to respond. Do you receive God's word today? How will you respond? Greater love. Everything about God has to do with love. Greater love has no one than to lay it all down for the life of another. Let them see the love of God in you. No matter who they are, let them see the love of a forgiving, of a merciful Father who gives grace. Grace is blessings that we don't deserve. Mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. Forgiveness was bought by Jesus. He paid the debt for the sins that we committed and asks us to turn around and forgive those around us. Let them see the love of God in you this holiday season. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your written word and in all the treasure that is in it, all the promises, all the direction, all the ups and downs that we could go through in life that you have wrote out in your word to guide us so that we don't have to face so much pain. We don't have to face so much anxiety. But your word also tells us that in this broken world, there is broken people who will do things that hurt us, do things that hurt you. And God's promise is that he loves you. He will lead you through it. And he will raise you up. He has not forgotten you. He has not left you behind. He loves you. And he wants to draw you through this. No matter what it is you're facing, he loves you. So Lord God, we ask for your blessing upon this gathering today. For each person here and each person who's not here, please touch their hearts. Heal their hearts and their minds. Lead them, Lord God, as you know how. Lord God, we turn it all over to you today. We have nothing more than knowing that your wisdom has the answers. And so we turn to you for your guidance. We thank you for your love and mercy. Amen.